Internet, welcome to a very special, very, very special Power Hour this week. This is dedicated to nothing but MMO talk, and I know what a lot of you are thinking is, oh man, I hate MMOs. This one, I can just give this one a pass. But you know what? I urge you to listen. I think you're going to discover that MMOs aren't quite what they seem on the outset. They get a bad rap in the gaming industry, but some of my best, fondest gaming memories have to do with MMOs. And I'm going to go through a few of those, but also I'm going to answer a lot of questions. Got a lot of questions this week just on MMOs, like recommendations and things like that. So I'm really eager to get started. And as you probably noticed, didn't have the old Butt Rock Power Hour intro. We're just going to spice it up a little bit, have some nice ambient music, you know. There's no silly GTA ads. This is just themed all out with MMO love. And you probably noticed, especially if you're an old Nitro Beard fan, on the Beardcast, we would have specials all the time. We had a Deus Ex special. We had an RPG special for Japanese role-playing games. We had, Marvel versus Capcom and StarCraft II. You know, competitive gaming type stuff. We've had different specials, so this is kind of in tune with that. This is going to be a very, very directed podcast, but it's going to be a lot of fun. It's my favorite gaming genre. Out of every genre of video game, MMOs are by far and away my favorite. But yeah, what we'll do is we'll get some nice mood music going right here. Just easing on in there, and then, you know what, we're going to come back, we're just going to answer the questions, we're going to get right in there. Then, second segment, I'm going to go into my personal stories, things like that, and then I'm going to cover a little bit of my Guild Wars 2 versus World of Warcraft article. But yeah, let's get it going, man. Let's just sit back, relax, and let the tunes take hold. Welcome to the question and answer segment. I did a quick shout out on Twitter for, you know, if anyone had any MMO questions, and you guys came out in droves asking all sorts of cool stuff. So I'm pretty stoked, and to get into it, there's, you know, going to be a lot of recommendations, things like that. And then some people just told me that they actually didn't like MMOs, which is fine too. I'm definitely wanting to answer those as well, because I think we can change a few minds. But let's see, good friend Marco Flores starting us off. Big shout out to him. What are Wes's picks for potential great to good MMOs for 2013? That's a really good question. There's been some announcements on some games, but the two games I have in mind that I'm looking forward to personally, I don't think they have release dates yet. One of them might be 2014. I'm really not too sure. With so much content coming out for all these other MMOs that are currently out, it's kind of hard to keep track of stuff whenever they just show a trailer. But the two I'm thinking of right now are Neverwinter, which is Dungeons & Dragons. It's not actually Dungeons & Dragons Online. This is a whole complete different game. But I love the Neverwinter. I love Neverwinter Nights. They're some of the best PC games ever. And, you know, anything in that setting, the Underdark and stuff like that, is just rad. That's a really well-developed universe, and I'm excited that they're making a game dedicated specifically to that region of the Dungeons & Dragons world. And then the other one is The Elder Scrolls Online. I'm a huge Elder Scrolls fan. I mean, have been since, you know, the Daggerfall days. And also played Arena, you know, Elder Scrolls 1 and 2. And Elder Scrolls kind of plays like an MMO anyway. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of set up in that same basic principle of, okay, here's a quest. Someone, quest giver gives you this. Go out into the world. Do this one thing. Come back to me. You'll get a reward. Do this again. You'll build a reputation. You know, it works on kind of the same mechanics. So I think it's going to be a natural fit. I think if they fit, you know, all these different worlds from the Elder Scrolls into one game, like, I don't know how the continuity would work on that, but they might find a really cool way to do it. I mean, there's just a lot of content in those games. So that's going to be... that's going to be huge. And I'm looking forward to it. It's getting a lot of flack lately. You know, oh, why does Elder Scrolls need an MMO? Why don't they just make Elder Scrolls 6? You know, Skyrim was good. Oblivion was great. You know, people just want more single-player stuff. I think they're worried that it's going to turn into the Star Wars Old Republic syndrome, to where instead of getting one great Knights of the Old Republic 3, we got Old Republic, which is kind of a... it's a so-so replacement for it. But I think Elder Scrolls has a lot of promise. But those are the two that I'm mainly looking at. I mean, there's dozens and dozens of MMOs that come out every year. So definitely a lot to look forward to. That genre will not die, which is great. It gives us so much more stuff to play. Marco also asked another great question. And this is something I was going to touch on, even if no one asked it. But he asked it pretty bluntly. He's like, have you considered going back or checking out Final Fantasy XIV post 2.0, since the game's restructuring? For those that don't know, Final Fantasy XIV came out. I played it at launch, bought it the day it came out. I was a pretty big fan of Final Fantasy XI. Bought XIV, and I liked it, but it almost felt like they forgot to make the extended sense of the game. Like, they forgot to, oh, well, people are actually going to out-level this content. Like, the first, I guess, 20 levels felt fine. But then after that, there was literally nothing to do, and the game kind of suffered for it. You know, the UI was kind of clunky. It didn't feel very cohesive to play, right? And so the developers at Square Enix, usually they're kind of hard-ass about this type of stuff. With Final Fantasy XI, they were very not open to change at all. Like, Final Fantasy XI, what they did is they evolved the same idea that they already had put in place. So if you liked that idea, you loved all the content they would give you. However, if you didn't like the fundamental way that Final Fantasy XI worked, none of the additional content would please you, right? Because it's still the same game. But with Final Fantasy XIV, what's kind of fascinating to me is Square Enix decided, okay, let's pull the plug for a little bit. So the servers were still online, but what they did is they're like, okay, well, nothing's really going on. People that are subscribed, actually, here's your money back for your subscription. You're still able to play it, but hey, there's nothing really to do, so just come, please hang out in the world, but, you know, there's not a lot to do. So they partially pull the plug. They fire, half the team. They just get rid of them, which is crazy. That's crazy. You know, and then they bring in people from other places of Square Enix, and then they hire brand new people, bringing in, come on, let's do this Redux, let's do a 2.0, let's do a relaunch, let's change the way the game works. And so far, it seems like they have. I've been reading more and more things where people are going back to it and being pleasantly surprised with how well they've adjusted these things. I mean, I personally think Final Fantasy XIV could work really well as a free-to-play game, with a cash shop inside of it, you know, a lot like Guild Wars. But I guess Square is just so, you know, once again, they're very determined on their one vision, so they're going to continue to charge for that. I would love to go back and play it. I don't have the time right now, but sometime next year I definitely will. I'd love to do an article on it. I did an article way back in Nitrobeard. I'm talking 2008 Nitrobeard, called Moogle Stole My Bike. And it was my playthrough with a good friend of mine, Cassius, who's probably listening. Shout out to you, Cassius. Haven't talked to you in a bit. But we played Final Fantasy XI for the first 20 levels, kind of made documentary things. We actually have the live stream somewhere archived. I need to upload that to my YouTube so I can post it. But it was hours and hours of gameplay footage. You could see our group chat and stuff. It was a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to make those articles. And I'd love to do that same type of thing with 14. I mean, be on the lookout for it next year. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I'd love to do it. But yeah, I'm definitely interested. Interested in going back. Next question from Matt Fries. He asks, what do you think about Rift? Nobody seems to talk about that one. Which is true. Nobody seems to talk about Rift. I personally love it. I bought it the day it came out. I had it pre-ordered. Got the little special bonus, whatever. The little bags and stuff. The little pets and everything that they gave you. But Rift, I guess I'm trying to think of what other games came out around that. I think Aeon came out around it, but there was also like big console games and PC games that came out whenever Rift did, so it kind of got pushed under the, you know, under the rug a little bit, which is unfortunate, because Rift, in my opinion, there's only one better pay-to-play MMO, and that's World of Warcraft. Like, Rift is a very close second. I mean, there's some days to where I'm like, well, if I'm really bored of WoW, hell, I might re-up my Rift subscription, because that's how quality that game is. It looks gorgeous. It actually works kind of the same dynamic event system that Guild Wars does, to where you can be in, you know, a playfield, you can be just doing stuff and building weapons or, you know, killing random mobs. And then a portal will open and a boss will come down just out of nowhere. And then you'll see in general chat people just flipping their shit like, oh god, this boss is here, everyone come kill it. So then everyone kind of groups up together, you know, randomly, and then goes and kills this thing in the field. You get rewarded for it, and then you kind of go your separate ways. That did that really well, you know, and but it also kind of balanced out that with the gear treadmill stuff of World of Warcraft. But it's a solid game. I love it. It's in my Steam library, so I can reinstall it at any time. I just don't have the money right now to re-up to Rift, but it's a great game. I definitely recommend it, especially if you're a fan of World of Warcraft, you just want something different. I think Rift stays true to that sensibility that World of Warcraft gives you. And I get emails all the time about Rift. They constantly add shit. They just came out with like 2 new expansion packs. They give you awesome rewards for re-upping your account, like different mounts and, you know, outfits and all these different things. It's a great value. They're really serious about customer support too. That's what I remember. I remember having some problems with Rift, like having it run kind of wonky and stuff whenever it just came out of beta. And I sent a support ticket, and, you know, there's a lot of people sending support tickets, and you have to think, whenever you send a support ticket, it's basically emailing tech support. I got a question, or I got an answer, rather, in less than a minute and a half, and this was not in prime time. I mean, this was not, you know, this wasn't middle of the day, you know, the people at their offices from 9 to 5, like, this was 1 in the morning. And I just submitted a ticket, hey, this is working, this thing's invisible. I can't even remember what it was. It wasn't something very major. But not only did they fix the problem, they emailed me a gift, said, hey, you know, thanks for sticking it out with us. We appreciate your support. We appreciate your business and sticking with us. You know, it's going to take us a little bit of time to get all these kinks worked out, but, you know, here's a little something for you. And that's above and beyond. You know, that's taking care of your people. So I will absolutely recommend Rift. A lot of content, a lot of fun content. It's a really good game. Let's see, good question. And Cody Dunn, a good friend Sparkster, he's been on the Beardcast before. Early Beardcast. He actually asks, let's see, he asks 3 questions. And the middle question is kind of a weird one, but it actually ties into a Guild Wars World of Warcraft editorial story. But the first question, have you played PlanetSide 2? And what are some accessible MMOs to people who don't want the time sink commitment? I have played PlanetSide 2, and I would play more of it, but my computer just, I don't know what it is. I mean, I have a dated computer. It's not necessarily an old computer. I have 8 gigs of DDR3 RAM. I have, you know, graphics card, a 9800 GT, But the thing is, my processor is bottlenecked. It's not a quad core. It's one of those weird tri-core, like the three processors, that isn't really even as good as a solid dedicated dual core. It was really bizarre. I mean, I got the computer for dirt cheap. I mean, I think brand new, I spent $350 on the tower. I already had a monitor and stuff like that, and the graphics card and everything. But, you know, just getting that, I just needed something with DDR3 RAM. Got that computer, and it does me well, but the only thing is I can't do stuff like live stream, because that's very CPU intensive. So, I guess PlanetSide 2 right now is very CPU intensive as well. I mean, the game looks great, and even if I turn down the settings, it's still a little blotchy for my taste. And, I mean, that's, once again, that's nothing against the game, that's against my computer. But PlanetSide 2, from what I played of the beta and what I've been seeing other friends do, great game, a lot of fun. It is a shooter, so if you're not a big fan of shooters, probably won't be into it, but I'm interested. Once I get a computer upgrade sometime next year, that's going to be the thing I kind of show off my system with, I think, because that game looks gorgeous. But his second part of this first question was, some accessible MMOs to people who don't want the time sink commitment. Now, this is kind of a dual question, right? This is accessible MMOs, a lot of them nowadays, probably 90% of them are actually accessible. I mean, very rarely, I honestly really can't think of an MMO nowadays that's not accessible. I think that's part of it. They want it to be as accessible as possible, but keep you locked in. So you do the subscription, or you buy something off the cash shop, or something like that. So accessible MMOs, there's a lot of them, but the thing about the time sink commitment is, that's almost the nature of the beast, right? I mean, MMOs are this long burn. It's not necessarily a time sink. I mean, I can see how it's perceived as that, and it definitely, trust me, I've sunk in a ton of time into MMOs. I played World of Warcraft since it came out in November 2004, so I know all about it. But there's this weird perception that in order to actually play an MMO and get anything out of it, you need to play for 6 to 8 hours at a time or something. You know, you have to dedicate, basically you have to make it a part-time job. And that's not necessarily true anymore. It used to be. Trust me when I say Ultima Online, original EverQuest, yeah, if you weren't playing 30 hours a week, you had no business plan. But now, I think World of Warcraft is actually the one that set that mindset at ease. And especially with stuff like PlanetSide, like you mentioned, Guild Wars 2, these are games that you can go in, enjoy yourself, even if you only have an hour to spend. You can get something done, log out, feel like you did something. You know, of course, you may want to play more. That's kind of the thing about MMOs, is they get pretty addictive pretty quick, but you'll never feel like you're not progressing. And that's, I think that's a benefit to everyone as a player. But MMOs, accessible MMOs that I would recommend, there's actually two. Both of them are on Steam. And they're both actually financed by the same company. They're both free to play. And that was kind of, whenever I read your question, free to play was the first thing to come to mind. Because when I think of an actual time sink, I think of, okay, subscription fee. Once you put a subscription fee, like a monthly payment of, oh, $15 a month, or, hey, I'm going to pay for 6 months in advance, you know, this is an $80 charge on my card, you feel like you must play a certain amount of time. Like, well, fuck, I spent this amount of money. I might as well, man. It's your cost effectiveness, you know. Why am I spending $15 on a game I'm not going to play? You know, you get in this weird cycle. But the two free-to-play options, I would say, are Lord of the Rings Online and Dungeons & Dragons Online. Both of those, they play very much like a World of Warcraft. They kind of took a lot of lessons from it, took a lot of things out of that book. They are free-to-play. They do have a cash shop, but you can actually earn that currency in the game. You can get titles, you can get all this other stuff. They're both made by Turbine Interactive, who, in my opinion, do free-to-play better than anybody else on the planet. So you can play both of those. DDO, you know, Dungeons & Dragons Online. DDO is a little more action-oriented. It's kind of more of a, I don't know, like whenever you click, your sword swipes. You know, but with Lord of the Rings Online, it's a bit more traditional to where you do your auto-attack, you hit your auto-attack button, and then you do spell cooldowns and things like that. So they're free-to-play. They're both on Steam. Yeah, free to make an account, all that good stuff. So you can kind of see which one's right for you, but I would recommend those. They both have a ton of content. You don't have to spend a dime on either game. But between you and me, the games are so good, I actually did end up spending money. Hell, for DDO Online, I love that game so much, I actually spent a full amount of money on the new expansion, The Menace of the Underdark, that came out. I love that freaking game. It's especially great whenever I don't really have the time commitment for World of Warcraft, but I want something that plays very similar. Because Guild Wars 2 is very good, it's just quite a bit different. We'll get to that later. But yeah, that's your extensive answer. Let's see, Cody Dunn's second question. Have you ever been to college? And which college did you go to, and what was your major? And I went to Oklahoma City University. It's a liberal arts school right in the smack dab center of Oklahoma City. My first major was graphic design with a minor in illustration. I really thought I could, you know, definitely work on web design and things like that. I have that weird, I have that weird passion for it. You know, I've been classically trained to draw, all this other stuff, but then I switched majors my third year, and that ended up biting me in the ass, because I think only three of my classes up to that point actually transferred over. I transferred over to film directing and film production from graphic design. There was more of a lucrative... There was a promise, basically, of more money after I graduated for the film thing. But then, whenever I switched over to film, I realized that going to film school just means you're helping other people make their movies. Very rarely do you get the chance to make your own movie. And that, once again, didn't kind of fulfill what I was looking for. So I actually left. There was some familial issues going on at the time, and, you know, family members sick and things like that. So left college with about a year left. And, I mean, I still have my credits up. I can go back and finish at any time, but with the birth of a baby, I'm making sure she's kind of good on her way before I go back. I mean, it'll only take me about a year to get my degree, so I'm not too worried about it, but for right now, my priorities are somewhere different. There's just no way I could go to Oklahoma City. I live 8.5 hours away now, so I could transfer credits, but that's a whole different thing. But yeah, we'll get to it when it, you know, life happens. That's what happens. But yeah, kids, go to college. You'll learn a lot, not necessarily in class, but you'll learn a lot. And Cody Dunn's final question: do you think it's time for Blizzard to come up with an original IP, or should they resurrect an old IP? That's an interesting one. I know Blizzard has been talking about Titan, which is apparently their new IP. Apparently this has nothing to do with Warcraft, even though Titans are part of the Warcraft lore. You know, Titan is their new project. It's an MMO. They're basing it for next generation style hardware. So I'm pretty excited to see what that's all about. I will say that I was kind of burned with Diablo 3. I like Diablo 3, but not as much as I thought I would. That could be my expectations being slightly off, but I'll actually talk about that during my Game of the Year Power Hour. And also the Game of the Year free-to-play that we're going to be recording in the next few weeks, I think. So yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. But I think Blizzard... I don't think Blizzard needs to resurrect an old IP, because what else do they have? Lost Vikings. They have, God, there's one other game. Can't think of it right now. I could look it up, but it'd be dead air. But Blizzard with Titan, I think they're headed the right direction. You know, there's nothing announced about it. They haven't showed anything. They haven't showed art. They've showed nothing. But that's exciting. That means they're taking their time. That means they're wanting to unveil it all at once. And if there's one company that can do an unveiling better than anybody, it's Blizzard. So, you know, I think Titan's going to fit that mold. I do think that Blizzard has the three strongest IPs this side of Half-Life. You know, Half-Life is, especially for gamers, for core gamers, if you want to call us that, Half-Life is a pretty big deal. But you got StarCraft, you got Warcraft, and you got Diablo. And those three, man, it's like a trinity, you know. But great questions, Cody. Thank you so much. And we got some questions from good friend Behemoth. First one is, who put the bop in the bop shabop shabop? And the answer is Behemoth. You put the bop in the bop shabop shabop. That's true. So enjoy. Congratulations. Your medal is going to be shipped to you. So be on the lookout. And his question, and this is I chose this one for last because this is going to be a great segue into the next segment. Why are MMOs always so terrible? Will this genre ever produce a good game, or is it time to take it behind the chemical shed? And here's the deal. I can realistically see where he's coming from. You know, I know Behemoth. I've known Behemoth for years and years. He's very much, I mean, it's not a bad thing, but he's very much a gamer that, okay, what's the new release? What's this new release? This game just came out. This is, you know, he's big fan of, like, Dark Souls. So I'm not saying he's some vapid guy with no taste. That's not what I'm saying, brother. I'm just saying that MMOs are a very different type of experience than that. Like I said, I've been playing one MMO, one single game, for over 8 years. And that doesn't really fall in line with the way the gaming industry works nowadays. You know, there's this weird cycle about video game releases. Well, here's the preview. Well, first here's the announcement trailer. And then there's a preview. And then someone goes and gets hands-on footage. And then they're going to hype it up. And here's the new oh, be sure to pre-order it, man. You're going to get your GameStop fucking exclusive t-shirt. And then you put your money down. And then you go get it on release day. And then you read all the reviews. And everyone reviews it from a 7 to a 9 out of 10. And then people get butthurt on GameFAQs and NeoGAF. And then people forget about it in 2 months whenever a brand new game comes out that did that same cycle. That's video games. That's the way the business works now. And it's tiring. It can be exhausting. It can be money. Like, if you want to talk about a time sink in MMO, the freaking gaming business is a money sink. Like, every single month. Hell, nowadays, every single week, there's a $60 game that people feel like they have to buy in order to stay caught up with the gossip rumors and all that type of stuff. It's a weird industry, man. There's a lot of money to be made, but I don't know. You know, the value of games, I still think the value of games is still pretty good. You know, you have your Call of Duties, which has a ton of leveling up progress and things like that, but just the nature of the business itself is exhausting, right? It's like, who wants to spend $60 every other week just to play a game for 10 hours just to be able to talk about it on a message board? It's like, that gets real tiresome, real fast. I mean, truth be told, I've been doing it for years, and hell, working at Nitrobeard, we have to do it. You know, if we want to talk about things on a podcast, we have to play every single fucking game that comes out, and it's pretty annoying. Game of the Year this year is going to be pretty interesting. And the reason why I say that is our Game of the Year stuff, not all of us played all the same games. So we're going to be coming at things from a different angle. Like, for instance, I hear nothing but great things about Far Cry 3. I haven't played it. I won't be able to buy it until sometime next year. But are we going to talk about it on the Game of the Year podcast? Hell yeah, we are. I've played games enough that I could hold a conversation about it based on what I've seen. But I haven't played it. So I cannot realistically put it on a Game of the Year list. Even though it could definitely do it. It could definitely be on there. But MMOs are kind of a beautiful thing away from that. MMOs have their own life cycle. MMOs have their own sense of progression, their own hype, if you will. Like, I can get just as excited over a major WoW patch as I will over a game release. Because it's almost a new game. Whenever big changes happen in an MMO, you have to log in and see what happened. What are people saying about this? Well, how did this change the economy? Well, you know, what's going on? What happened to all my quests? What happened to all my quest rewards? Is my gear irrelevant now? Do I have to go and do brand new content in order to gear back up? Or, you know, is my gear right now still fine? There's a sense of change, but it's contained within a universe that you're already familiar with. It's much less it's much more cost effective. It's not as much of a money sink, even if you do pay per month. I can tell you I've probably spent thousands of dollars over the years on World of Warcraft. And sure, for some people that seems like madness. Why would you pay that much fucking money on one game? World of Warcraft has changed so much over the span of 8 years that it's the same thing as buying 7 or 8 full-price $60 video games, if not more. You know, hell, you could do that in 1 year. Just multiply that by 8. You know, the game itself has stayed fundamentally the same. You still get the same reward mechanisms, but the amount of content is staggering. Staggering. You just really cannot put it into words until you log in the first time and see all this shit that you get to do. You know, it's a VIP access to a theme park. But it works. And it's a nice, refreshing change from the kind of the shitty way the industry has been going. But anyway, that's a great place to leave that off. We're going to take another break, listen to some awesome more music, and we're going to come back. I'm going to tell you a few stories from MMOs. Both of these are going to actually be in the final part of the Guild Wars versus World of Warcraft deal. But I'd like to vocally say them. If you're not a big fan of reading the editorials, I'd like to vocally talk about them. But we'll do that as soon as we come back. Alright guys, welcome back. This is a time that's very near and dear to my heart right here. I get to tell you the stories, one story each, one from World of Warcraft, one from Guild Wars 2, that kind of encompass what MMOs mean to me. And each MMO that I've ever played, I'll just preface this out here, each MMO that I've ever played has a story like this, at least one, if not a dozen. Like, for instance, I remember the first time I stepped foot in EverQuest and didn't know how to bring up a map, had to ask where I was going, pretty much I was on my own. You know, you're put in this world, you don't know how to do anything, you don't know where to do anything at, but the thing was, there's a sense of discovery there that is unmatched. To this day, I still remember that. I still remember logging into EverQuest the first time and being like, what is this? This is something different. Ultima Online was the same way. I wasn't a big Ultima fan until Ultima Online was actually my first Ultima game. I had no preconceived notions of what Ultima was. And then I remember hearing the story that Lord British, you know, Richard Garriott, the creator of Ultima, was actually murdered in his own game. You know, his character of Lord British was killed in a public setting whenever he was doing kind of a in-game press tour. And that blew my mind. There's still pictures of it whenever it happened. But yeah, I mean, that shit just showed me that, you know, this is a much different type of gameplay experience. But first of all, we will go into my Guild Wars 2 story. And the beautiful thing about this story is it happened less than 2 days ago. You know, it's December 9th right now. I literally think this happened like December 6th or 7th. And the way Guild Wars 2 works is you're given into an area, you know, you go into an area and there's dynamic events, which means there's no quests. You don't run up to someone and say, hey, Sergeant Bumblebee, what do you need me to do? And then Sergeant Bumblebee says, oh, I need you to go kill 10 boars. They're eating all my crops. And then you go kill 10 boars and then come back to him and he's like, oh, thanks for killing all the boars. You really saved the day. Here's your reward. And then you just do that forever. That's not necessarily the case. With Guild Wars 2, what happens is you're brought up into a big open field, into the big world map. And as you run around, different areas of the world map at different times can spawn different dynamic events. So if you're running by a camp, one time you'll run by the camp, and the camp is just full of NPCs, and you can go get your stuff repaired and, you know, sell stuff on the auction house and whatever. Then you can run off. Then you can be like, oh crap, I forgot something at the bank. And as you're running back to the camp, it can start getting bombarded with enemies. So you have to fight the enemies off. Now, if you don't fight the enemies off, they can take hold of the camp. So now you can't go get your shit healed, or you can't, you know, go sell stuff. The place is basically under a hostage situation now. So now you have to get a group together and just try to fight those enemies off. That way you can go and do your shit again. In theory, that sounds amazing. And for the first like 4 or 5 times that happened, I was blown away. But then you realize that that's just a replacement for the quest system. It's basically a quest, and it's on a timer. So it happens every, you know, 10 hours. Maybe not even that. Depending on how many people, it can happen twice an hour. So while it's really still cool in theory, like, depending on how you and the actions you take and stuff, it changes the world around you. Great idea. But then it's basically an instance. The whole thing is just an instance. And I preface the story I'm about to tell with that, so you kind of know how this works. I was running in a swamp, and one of my goals is, oh, you have to shut down all these portals in a swamp. And the thing about Guild Wars also is you actually match the level of the area you're at. So if you're a level 30 and you go to a level 5 zone, you become a level 5 version of your level 80 character. I'll let that sink in for a minute, because that's the one thing in Guild Wars 2 that pisses me off to no end. But that's another thing. I'll get to that here in a little bit. I'm in the swamp. I'm a level 18, but I'm leveled down to a level 12. And then these level 12 enemies keep killing me, just because there's so many of them. And first thing in my head is, fuck, if I was a level 18, I could clean house in this zone. I could walk through this zone without a weapon and fist pump people and not worry about dying. But since, you know, all my gear is leveled down, since my level is leveled down, I keep fucking dying on places that I should not be dying. Pissing me off, man. I'm there for over an hour. I keep dying. I keep going to close these portals. I keep dying, and there's no one else around. And then another dynamic event starts, so even more enemies come in and then fucking kill me again. And I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. And this was literally after I wrote Guild Wars versus World of Warcraft Part 1. And you can go back and read that, and that's more about the lore and the storytelling and stuff. And it was to such a degree that this type of stuff kept happening, that I kept low-leveling down, and then fucking something would happen, and then, oh, all this stuff would spawn up, and then I'd die, and then I'd lose my progress, and then I'd have to re-teleport somewhere. It was just a headache, right? So I did this, and did this, and I did this, and I did this, and it started grating on me, and I was like, man, fuck this game. This game's shitty. Why did they do that? Like, why did they do the one thing that MMOs are all about? MMOs are all about progression. Why the fuck did they take away progression? That's the stupidest thing. For as much great things as this game fucking does, they do that. Why? So I'm dead. I'm fucking laying in a field. Ugh. I'm dead. Oh, I'm here at the swamp that I can't fucking leave because everything is too high level, even though it's lower level than I am. And then in the distance, I see a char warrior and a human thief running my direction. And, you know, whenever you die in Guild Wars, you just kind of lay there until you respawn, hoping that someone will come by and save you. So they run by, and they kind of run past me a little bit, and I was like, fuck, they're not even going to... Oh, well. So I go to click my, click the little respawn button down there. But then I see they turn around, and they single-handedly destroy everything in the area. They go shut down all the fucking portals, they do all that. Then they come over and they heal me. You know, they come over, they raise me up, they lift me up off the ground, they patch me up, and they're like, hey man, that looked pretty rough. You know, how are you doing? You know, where are you going? What are you trying to do? And I was like, man, this fucking area, I hate it. I hate this area. It's just frustrating. I don't get it. Why do they level people down? And, you know, here's these guys are also level 5 or 6 or whatever it is. And they're like, yeah, man, the level down mechanic's stupid, but here's what we'll do. We'll give you a grand tour. We'll show you what this game's about. And they didn't have to do this, right? These are just two normal dudes. They're just hanging out together, just ran by, saw my dumbass laying on the ground, and was like, you know what, brother, we'll pick you up. We'll dust yourself off. Come on, join us. We'll show you what this game's about. And for the next 3 hours, they did basically an extensive tutorial with me. They're like, all right, open up your inventory. If you right-click here and you click this and you go over here and you do that and you blah, 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 blah. You know, and for as much cool stuff as Guild Wars 2 does, it has a terrible tutorial. You don't fucking know what you're doing. Right? You're just thrown out into the world. You can do all this great stuff. And you're like, I don't know how to do any of this stuff. You know, they send you out, you know, they kind of set you up to fail. Or at least it feels that way. But after they kind of directed me through the motions and things like that, it felt like I had a much greater understanding and much greater appreciation of the game. And enough so that afterwards, you know, they were like, okay, let's go to a little higher level place. Let's go to like level 15, 16. Let's go to level 19 place. Let's try to do some group quest stuff. Let's see how you do. So I get in there and I start getting the hang of my guy, right? I start getting the hang of my thief. I can teleport around. I can shoot bows and arrows well. I can switch stuff on the fly. I'm playing it more like an action game. And they were so impressed with my progress. After just 3 hours, they're like, man, you're getting so much better already. How would you like to join our guild? Perfect. You know, that's great. Basically, they put me through a hazing, and I passed. But they are the ones that taught me how to do it, right? And like I said, I don't know these people. I don't fucking know any of these people. But now I'm in their guild. And ever since I've joined their guild, I've had more fun in Guild Wars 2 than any game I can remember in the past, like, 2 or 3 years. It's just a blast to play. It's much different than World of Warcraft. I had to get that out of my head. But just that little act of kindness showed me that the community is really good in that game. That, yeah, it can be a little bit different and a little bit weird and bizarre to start playing. But just that open hospitality of, hey man, yeah, we've all been there. Just pick yourself up. Don't get too discouraged. Let's show you how to play this game right. Just that upped my enjoyment tenfold. And that's a huge deal. You know, for a game that has a kind of a big time commitment, things like that, you want to have a good time. And I just wasn't before that. I was just, ugh, why am I playing this? I know I have to write an article. Fuck. I bought this game. I was disappointed with it. But now I'm anything but disappointed with it. I think it's a wonderful game. I highly recommend it to everybody. And it will be on my Game of the Year list. Guaranteed. Even if it's a top 5 list, Guild Wars 2 will show up on it, period. That's how much of a change that little act of kindness made in my perception of that game. So, that's the Guild Wars 2 story. I mean, you can read the written version of it in the Guild Wars versus World of Warcraft article. But the next one, this next story I will tell, and this is, we're going to take another little break, get some more mood music going. This next story is the most memorable gaming moment maybe ever, period, for playing video games. I'm talking about getting systems for Christmas as a kid. I'm talking about all of it. This, for me, is up there with any story in my life as a gamer. And we will go over it whenever we come back. World of Warcraft came out in 2004. 2004 was the first year I started college. And I dormed up, you know, this brand new place, first time living on my own, all this other stuff, so still making friends and things like that. And one of the friends I made, his name's Peyton. If you're a fan of Nitro Beard and stuff like that, then he was actually on No Quarter Radio, which kind of preceded Nacho Beard and, you know, came before. So that's where I come from, is Peyton was a part of that. So me and Peyton have been friends for years and years and years now. But, you know, we really bonded over World of Warcraft, and we both got it the day it came out. We talked about how much we loved Warcraft 3. We bought this game. But one of my best friends in the world to this day, Douglas Oldham, he was the co-creator of No Quarter with me. Dude is a champ. Big shout out to him. Actually going to link his Twitter in the Guild Wars versus WoW article. He's still, I talk with him every single day. Doug is huge, probably the biggest Warcraft fan I know. But he lives across the nation. You know, I was living in Oklahoma, you know, going to Oklahoma City University. He lived in Vermont. And, you know, I talked with him for years and years. I've probably known, God, I've known Doug for 15, 16 years. So, you know, we all three got the game. Me and Peyton went to our Best Buy. We bought it. We installed it on our computers at our dorm. He had a MacBook, and I had just my desktop. And, you know, Doug went out and bought it that night, installed it and everything. And the thing is, we made three different races. I made a human, Peyton made a dwarf, and Doug made a night elf druid, I think. And you have to remember, guys, this is the first day World of Warcraft launched. The very first day. So nobody knew anything. We didn't know how the game functioned. It was our first big MMO experience that we were going to dedicate a lot of time to. The first day, we all log in. You know, I'm like, oh, God, I'm at this place called Stormwind. I don't know where this is. Then Peyton logs in. He's like, yeah, I'm a dwarf. I'm at Ironforge. I don't know where that is. And I'm like, oh, I can see Ironforge on the map. How about we meet in the middle? And so he pulled up his map, and we're like, yeah, sure. So we go to meet in the middle, and it takes us like 35 minutes to run there, right? Because there's no transportation yet, nothing like that. You just have to fucking hoof it. So we're running. We meet, and we're like, oh, man, your character looks so cool. You know, and, just kind of hanging out. And then Doug logs in a few hours later, and he made his night elf. And we're like, hey, brother, where are you at, man? Let's meet up. Let's do some shit. He was like, yeah, I'm in Kalimdor. I was like, all right, man, let me bring up my map. I'm going to bring that up, bring up my map, and I can't see Kalimdor. And I'm looking, I'm like, Kalimdor. I don't know where Kalimdor. Let me zoom the map out a little bit. I zoom the map out, and I can see the whole continent, right? And I was like, God, this game's fucking big. I'm looking. I'm like, I still can't see Kalimdor. I'm, you know, I'm like, where's that? Is it north or south? And he's like, it's kind of like northern. So I go to the north. I'm like, no, I don't. I still don't see it on the map. And I was like, oh, wait. I need to zoom out some more. So I keep zooming out, and I keep zooming out, and I keep zooming out. Thing is, Kalimdor is two continents away. It's literally on the other side of the world. And I'm like, oh, fuck. You know? Oh, my God. Why are you over there? You know, and that's a Night Elf starting zone. So I was like, Peyton, I have an idea. Let's hoof it to Kalimdor. Let's go, brother. Let's do this. Let's figure out what the fuck we're doing. We don't know how to play this game. We just logged this shit up. We've been playing for like 3 hours. Let's go to Kalimdor. Had no idea how to do it, right? Like I said, there was no big flight paths yet. There were a few, but, you know, they were still kind of under maintenance and not quite working right, so you had to hoof it. So we ran, and we ran, and we ran, and we ran, and we kept running, and we passed through big valleys and underground tunnels and lava-filled craters and fucking snow-covered mountains. We actually stopped for a little bit at the snow-covered mountains, and we ordered a pizza. I remember this clearly. I'll remember this to my dying day, and I don't know why, but it was just kind of profound in a way, is we ordered a pizza. We sat our characters down on the edge of a cliff, like on, you know, looking out at the mountain range, and he built up a little campfire, you know, and it gives you little buffs and stat boosts and everything like that. So we're just enjoying the beauty of the game, right? And we're eating pizza together. You know, he actually had come up to my dorm room at that point because, hell, if we were going to do a cross-country trek, we needed to fucking communicate, right? So we're eating pizza and stuff like that, and Doug's like, hey, guys, well, you know, what you up to? You guys having fun? And that's when we broke it to him. We're like, brother, we're coming to see you. We are coming across the game world to see you. And he was like, what? What do you mean? Like, how can you do that? Like, what do you, how long have you guys been running? And at that point, we had been running for about 4 hours. So this is, you know, we're talking 2 a.m. that we're doing this. But I mean, we didn't have classes the next day or anything. Like, this was going into the weekend. So we did that. We ate the pizza. We were just shooting the shit and chatting, right? I mean, I was talking with Peyton in person, and we were both talking to Doug on our computers. We decided, okay, yeah, let's do it. Let's follow through. Let's keep it going. So another, like, 2 hours pass, and we finally get to where we need to go. And this is after tons of deaths. We had to redo our gear, all of the money that we got from killing mobs. We had to spend on gear replacement after we died all the time. I mean, we were level 6 and level 7. Passing level 60 monsters that could kill us in one hit. So we had to be careful. We had to take our fucking time. We didn't know who any of these people were. We didn't know what all this stuff was. Oh, man, look at this. Oh, look at the airships flying overhead. This is crazy. This is a whole giant world. And then we get to Wetlands. Wetlands, you know, that's the main docking bay. So we get there and we're like, okay, good. There's a boat dock. This has to go there. So we wait for about 15 minutes and the boat shows up. So we go in the boat. And we're like, you know, once again, we're like level 7. And the people on the boat are like level 30, 35. At the time in vanilla World of Warcraft, it was level 60 was the cap, right? So these people are a little bit above halfway. And they're looking at us like, what the fuck are these level 6s doing? You know, they're kind of like, whoa. All these guys with giant shoulders and glowing swords and all this shit. And here's us with just tattered rags on, just hanging out. And so we went over to Kalimdor, and we met Doug at the dock. And from that point on, we were inseparable. We were helping other people. We were leveling up together. We were doing all this shit, going into dungeons, figuring out all sorts of adventure. It was the best, most memorable time I've ever had in a video game. And I think it was because it represented that even though me and Peyton were together, physically together, and our good friend Doug was across the nation, we took a digital journey across a nation to go meet him, to go see him, to go out of our way so we could enjoy this thing together. And it's funny, whenever I talked about writing the Guild Wars 2 versus World of Warcraft article, Doug actually messaged me after the first one. He was like, brother, you got to tell the story about how you came to visit me, because I still remember it. I still remember we didn't know what that game was. We didn't. Yeah, everyone was brand new to World of Warcraft, so we couldn't ask for help. Nobody knew anything. You just had to learn. You had to learn. You had to pay your dues. And that night, we all paid our dues. And what's really kind of, in a weird way, it's sort of touching, is that can never happen again. And what I mean by that is not only, yeah, you only have that experience once, sure, but physically, in World of Warcraft, the Earth and the landscape has changed. After Cataclysm, Deathwing, which is a dragon, Deathwing actually comes out and destroys like half of Azeroth. You know, half of the world. So the boat that docked in Kalimdor doesn't exist anymore. That path just doesn't exist. Your dock goes to somewhere else. You cannot go to Wetlands from where we, you know, we left our hometown or our home continent and left for Kalimdor. That place is completely destroyed. So our story that we had about launch World of Warcraft, it is about a time that's forgotten. That can no longer exist. Nobody can have that same experience. The exact experience we had, no one can have it again. Isn't that bizarre? That's surreal to think about. And that's the type of magic that MMOs can give you. Notice, I didn't say anything about, oh, the gameplay is this, and this, and this, and all the skills, the spell cooldowns, and look how cool my dragon looks. That's all superficial. There's something poetic about an MMO. It's a living, breathing world. This place exists. You go there and it has an economy. You can sell your goods and services on this. You can make your own fun. You can, hell, if you want to be a jerk, you can, like, stand in front of a bridge. And then anyone who tries to cross the bridge, you can attack them. You can do whatever the fuck you want to do. You know? There's something beautiful about it. And the really great thing about MMOs, if you get 10 people who play extensively MMOs in a room, and ask them what their favorite memory is, you'll get 10 completely different style of answers. Some of them will be like mine. It will be more of a, here's a sense of discovery or fascination with the unknown. Some people will be like, I remember the first time I played a competitive battleground against other players and won. You know, it felt like I made an accomplishment, or, you know, I did battlegrounds, or, you know, in Guild Wars 2's case, I did world versus world versus world, big sieges with cannons, and you don't forget it. It's lasting impressions that get made, and it's all based on community. Even if you play the game by yourself, you're going to meet people. You're going to meet really cool people. I know in World of Warcraft, my guild right now, I know, you know, there's some people that, like, one guy's a retired softball coach. You know, he used to be for NCAA. I don't know what school. I never asked. None of my business. But, you know, he's a retired softball coach. And what he does, he just spends his day in WoW helping people, just chilling out, kind of, you know, dude's like 67, 68, hanging out in WoW, man. How awesome is that? You'll meet all sorts of people. Yeah, you're going to see the people on GameFAQs. You're going to see the people on NeoGAF. You're going to see the people on the official forums of whatever MMO saying, oh, Blizzard needs to change this, or ArenaNet, I can't believe you would do this. How stupid. Well, you need to buff this and nerf this. Then that's one thing. That's leave those fucking people to themselves. But whenever you get someone like-minded, and whenever you get either real-life friends or people that you've come to trust and known acquaintances online, and you play games with those people, the type of memories that you can make are lasting. They're very impactful. And you cannot get those memories anywhere else. Not any co-op games. Sure, you can get some funny stuff happening in a co-op game, but an MMO is such an extensive experience. It's such a big, overwhelming experience that everything you do matters. Everything you do. It doesn't matter if you didn't level up today. It doesn't matter if you didn't, you know, oh, I tried to raid today and my guild didn't get the drop they were looking for. Oh, man, you know, I went to go do a battleground and my team lost 4 times in a row. But it doesn't matter. It's the experience. It's the journey. And I think that's why my story is so memorable for me, is it was a journey. It was a journey from beginning to end. I still remember it fondly to this day. World of Warcraft, for that very reason, will always be one of my favorite games ever made. Ever. Putting it up there with the best, with Deus Ex, Baldur's Gate, original Pokemon, you know, Ocarina of Time. These profound experiences. And it's unfortunate that people don't give MMOs a chance. They hear about, oh, they're so addictive, and oh, only losers play those, and I don't have my life to dedicate to a fucking game. And sure, that's well and good, but just try it. Just try it. You don't have to play it forever. Just try it. I promise you something will happen. Some moment will happen that will click with you. It'll be an experience that you had that no one else had. And that's what it's about. That's my love for this genre. I urge you to pick any MMO that interests you. Go on Steam. There's tons of free-to-play ones. Go get, you know, the World of Warcraft Battle Chest. Go get Guild Wars 2. Go get whatever game suits your fancy. And try it. Just try it. That's all I'm asking. Just try it. Because the type of life, the type of gaming life that you will get to leave because of this type of experience will be so much more enriched than dealing with the dumb pre-order your exclusive copy of only at GameStop and be sure to come to Best Buy and be sure to read on G4 TV and GameTrailers.com and watch Jeff Keighley talk about Halo. That doesn't entice me anymore. I need something more. I need something with merit. I need something with meat on its bones. You know, just general gaming happenstance doesn't quite do it for me anymore. I need to freshen it up with MMOs. MMOs are actually more refreshing, even though they use older gameplay styles than the new shit coming out today. And that's truth. You can take that shit to the bank. It's crazy. It's crazy. But we're going to take another quick break. I'm going to come back. We're going to wrap it up. I'm going to talk a little bit about the Guild Wars 2 World of Warcraft experience editorial. I'm going to talk about that. And then I'm going to finally wrap this up. And hope you guys enjoyed this MMO special. But we'll be right back with the final little installment. All right, I hope you guys had fun today. Thanks for spending the weekend with Nitro Beard. Also, thanks for reading the Guild Wars 2 versus World of Warcraft articles. You know, all three of them should be up by now. The third one might be up while you're listening to this. I think I'm going to put this episode up first, and then the final of Guild Wars 2 versus World of Warcraft. But that article series was a lot of fun to write, and I picked those two games. I know this is probably a main question. Out of all the MMOs on the planet, why did you pick these two? I think MMO is a perfect accompaniment of what is the old guard. This is a callback to EverQuest. This is a callback to Asheron's Call to Shadowbane. These games that don't quite exist anymore. You know, the games that are leaving the public eye. You know, the very gear treadmill, gear dependent, carrot on a stick, linear progression, but constantly being rewarded style of game. And Guild Wars 2 is a breath of fresh air. And I mean that more ways than one. It's one of those that it actually, I'll put it this way, the game actually pissed me off because I wasn't used to how it did things. I was so accustomed to World of Warcraft and games like World of Warcraft that I couldn't wrap my head around Guild Wars. It was just a different way to play a game. And now that I see it as that, I love it. I think it's a perfect, you know, perfect big brother, little brother to an MMO of a different type. And for everything that Guild Wars 2 does that I'm not a fan of, it does like 11 things that I think is absolutely brilliant. Like I said, it's going to be a Game of the Year contender for sure. And I know Time Magazine actually gave it Game of the Year already, which is kind of silly because not all the games of the year are out yet, but regardless, it's a serious contender, and it's a very serious option. If you want an MMO, that's a great place to start. I'm not going to give away who I thought was better, because in the third part of World of Warcraft versus Guild Wars 2, I give my personal recommendation on which game I would recommend to everybody, especially new players. And the answer may surprise you. But, I mean, let it be known, World of Warcraft, I played that for 8 years. I will continue to play it. I support Blizzard wholeheartedly in what they've done with that game, because it is the best game of that type. It is the best traditional MMO on the planet, bar none. There's some that come close, but the reason why they come close is that they are almost as good as well. But if what you're looking for is more traditional, harken back to the, you know, early 90s, mid-90s style of PC gaming, World of Warcraft has you covered. And it's pretty cheap to get into now. They got the Battle Chest out, which has World of Warcraft, The Burning Crusade, and Wrath of the Lich King, and 30 days of game time, and a 300-page strategy guide, all for $20, which is a hell of a deal. Hell of a deal. And hell, on Amazon, you can probably find it cheaper. And, I mean, the enticing thing about Guild Wars 2 is there's no monthly fee. You know, World of Warcraft is still $15 a month, but there's still, what, 9 million players? So that should tell you something. There's still 9 million people that think that WoW is worthy enough to give them $15 a month. And I do, too. I think it's a stellar game. But Guild Wars, it's a little bit more money up front. You know, $60 just to buy the base game, but there's no monthly fees. They have an in-game cash shop that you can get stuff, but that's more aesthetic things. Yeah, no monthly fees. You don't have to worry about leaving the game and come back and your character's not being there. It's all save server side. The progress you make is very, very quick in that game. The level cap's 80, but I guarantee you to get to level 80 in Guild Wars 2 will take, I would say you would get from level 1 to 40 in WoW, and the same time it would take you to get from level 1 to 80 in Guild Wars 2. They've sped it up that much. So if you're a fan of instant gratification and like very specific satisfaction, Guild Wars 2 has you covered on that. But whatever it is, man, I mean, hell, if those two don't interest you, look on Steam. Like I said, there's tons of open betas on games now. Just check out some MMO websites. Joystick has one called Massively. Just go to joystick.com, and on the bottom of the page it'll say Massively. That's their MMO blog, and it's an awesome blog. I go there every day. Check out just some dedicated, like, 10-ton hammer. has some great articles up on some stuff. Hope you guys dug my Guild Wars 2 versus WoW article. I'm hoping to do more games like that in the future. Kind of how I did the Torchlight versus Diablo 3 back in the day. So, yeah, just pick a game. I say go for it. Whatever it is, if it's DC Universe Online, Final Fantasy 14, Guild Wars 2, World of Warcraft, D&D Online, you know, whatever it is, Rift, EverQuest 2, fuck, any of them. I say go for it, man. Whatever interests you, just get there and really savor the world. Savor the experience, savor the players. Just be a part of the world around you. And it's a beautiful thing. There's nothing like an MMO. And people, hell, people give me shit all the time about playing MMOs. But I will say it right now, and I'll say it for as long as I live, MMOs are my favorite gaming genre on the planet, bar none. Period. The type of content they give you, the amount of content they give you, the quality of the content they give you far surpasses any other gaming genre on the planet Earth. I stick by that. I always will. So treat yourself. Go out there. Hell, live a little, even if it's a digital life. But I hope you love this MMO special. It was a lot of fun to record. Thank you all so much for the great questions. Hope you guys have a stellar weekend. Be sure to read through Parts 1, 2, and 3 of the Guild Wars versus World of Warcraft editorial up on the website. Coming soon on Nitro Beard, we got Game of the Year stuff coming. You know it's going to be great. We're going to be doing that in the next few weeks. You'll definitely see us on Twitter, twitter.com/NitroBeard and twitter.com/CommieDeHobo. Keep us in your feed. We're going to let you know how it goes. But hey, until next time, guys, have fun. Let me know which MMO you picked. Let me know how you like this podcast. Let me know how you like the articles. Hit me up on Twitter. Comment on this post. Hope to see you in any sort of online game in the near future. And you know what? Whenever you're there, give me a shout out. I'll come give you a helping hand. Or I might even give you some money. You never know. I might be cool like that. Anyways, until next time, adventurers. We'll see you next time. But until then, be sure to power up.